Gracious Father, we thank you this morning for your wonderful love to us, and thank you, Lord, that you know all of our burdens and our heartaches. We pray for those who are suffering today. We ask you to be with them and meet their needs. We think of Pam and pray that the surgery will go well and that she will be able to recover quickly and feel much better. We pray also for the Garmin family, that you would undertake for them at this time of their sorrow, and that you meet their needs and undertake for them. We pray for others, our Father. We know there will be those who are traveling. We just ask you to keep them during this winter season and meet their needs. We do pray, our Father, that you continue to bless the church here, as Earl mentioned this morning, the need for finances to keep everything going in the very best way. We commit that into your hands. Lord, we were talking about that in Sunday school this morning, about the finances and the having our treasures built up in heaven. And we pray that you would help us to do our part in making sure that your work is taken care of. Thank you so much, our Father, for all your grace and love to us, and pray that you would continue to watch over us and keep us in your care and help us to be good witnesses for you in this world in which we live today. We do pray for our country today, as we've heard about the death of our Supreme Court Justice Scalia. We do pray for his family and friends. We pray that you would undertake and comfort their hearts. And pray for our country, that you would help us to find someone that would take his place and carry on the work that he's been doing. And we ask you, Lord, to just continue to help our country. We do thank you that there are those who truly believe in the Lord Jesus in this country. And we pray that we might band together to accomplish your will in everything that you would lead us to do. Have thine own way, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. All right, this morning we're looking at Mark chapter 5. Hey, what is today, by the way? It's Valentine's Day, isn't it, huh? You know, that's wonderful. Today, when people express their love one for another, all kinds of ways, we're giving out the chocolates and the cards and flowers and eating special meals and all that. It's always a wonderful time to show appreciation for each other. And some, I guess, are sincere in what they say, what the affection that they have. Others probably do it just out of habit, you know. Some of us might think, well, it's what everybody expects me to do. But it's always a good time, isn't it? I enjoy holidays. I really do. Usually we eat. Like, we had that nice breakfast this morning. Wasn't that nice? Good time of fellowship. I want to thank those who prepared all that. And I really enjoyed it very much. In our scripture for today, we find Jesus demonstrates his love and his compassion for all kinds of people. He shows his power to set people free from demons, disease, and death. Look with me, if you would, in Mark chapter 5. I believe I'm just going to read the first section. And then we'll pause and move on to the next one. But the first one here, beginning of verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting in clothes and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. We find here, first of all, that this man called Legion, the maniac of Gadara, oftentimes we refer to him by that title. Matthew, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, tells us that there were actually two men that were demon-possessed here. But Mark and Luke both center in on this one. He must have been the most prominent one, the one who spoke up. We find his condition here, this poor man. He's completely controlled by evil spirits. A wild man, unable to be bound, causing all kinds of problems and violence, living among the tombs, with only the dead surrounding him. Crying out in desperation with no one to help him. Hopelessly insane and in constant misery. Terrible condition. What a life for someone to be bound by Satan, completely overcome and without any possibility of change. As the song says, Then Jesus came, and night was heard today. When he saw Jesus afar off, it says he ran to worship him. He bowed down before him. And it's a little difficult to see here who's speaking. Part of the time it seems to be the man. Part of the time it seems to be the demons. They had such a control over this person. They bowed before him. He bowed before him and worshiped him, fell down at his feet. They knew who he was. He says the devils believe and tremble. You see, men are the ones who are so foolish as not to believe. They knew exactly who he was. And they said, Thou Son of the Most High God, what have we to do with? Don't torment us. Don't send us away to the pit, out of this world. But rather, let us go into that herd of swine. These demons must have been desperate. What do you think? Huh? Willing to inhabit pigs. The most unclean thing that the Jewish people thought of. When Jesus was telling this story, no doubt, they wondered, oh, no, not pigs, please, anywhere but there. But anyway, we find here his encounter with Christ. He ran and bowed down. The evil spirit spoke, and Jesus cast them out and said, you can go into the pigs. And the animals committed suicide. Did you get that? Sui-sui? Rather than live with the demons, they committed suicide, right? They went running down the hill into the lake and drowned. Okay. And we see this man then, converted. When the people came from town to see what had happened, they found a man that was changed completely. This person who had caused so much havoc, so much problems, crying in the middle of the night, waking everybody up, and causing so many injuries to himself and to others. They saw him sitting there, clothed, and in his right mind. Before he had been naked, no one could do anything with this man. Here he was, a naked savage. And now, he's calm, sitting with Jesus, listening to his word, clothed, and in his right mind. And they rejoiced that he was normal again and welcomed him back into their lives. Right? Is everybody asleep? Hardly. They never gave a thought to the man, did they? There's nothing. What were they concerned about? What happened to the swine? Right? They were concerned about their economic situation. These pigs had drowned, and they were more concerned with their loss than they were in the salvation of this precious man. Joseph O'Dell expresses their reaction in his poem. I found this in Dr. McGee's book. It says, Rabbi, be gone. Thy powers bring loss to us and ours. Our ways are not as thine. Thou lovest men, we swine. Oh, get thee hence, omnipotence, and take this fool of thine, his soul. What care we for his soul? What good to us that thou hast made him whole, since we have lost our swine. And Christ went sadly. He had wrought for them a sign of love and hope and tenderness divine. They wanted swine. Christ stands without your door and gently knocks. But if you're gold or swine, the entrance blocks. He forces no man's hold. He will depart and leave you to the treasures of your heart. No cumbered chamber will the master share, but one swept bare by cleansing fires, then plenished fresh and fair with meekness and humility and prayer. There he will come, yet coming even there, he stands and waits and will no entrance win until the latch be lifted from within. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. We see the commission here that Jesus gave to this man. He wanted to be with Jesus. Jesus was leaving. They had told him they didn't want him there. They rejected him. But this man wanted to be with him because he had seen what he had done in his life. He just wanted to be near to Jesus. But Jesus said, no, you go home and tell your friends what the Lord has done for you. And that's what Jesus says to us, isn't it? We can't be with them right now. He says, go home and tell your friends what the Lord has done for you. That's our job. And that was his job. And he did. It says he departed and he began to publish in Decapolis, that was the 10 towns in the area there, how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Can you imagine him telling that story? You know, I once was a wild person, untamed, filled with Satan, and now Jesus has set me free. What a wonderful testimony that is. They saw the tremendous difference in his life and marveled at what God had done. So Jesus got in the boat and he went back across to the other side again, back over near Capernaum. And people gathered from all over. And they came, and the next person that we see is Jairus, an anxious parent, one of the rulers of the synagogue, the local synagogue probably there at Capernaum, a very devout religious person, found himself helpless to solve a serious problem that he had. He humbled himself before Jesus, says he bowed before him, and he begged him to come and help. He believed that Jesus could heal his little daughter. She was at the point of death. And he anxiously comes and asks Jesus, come and heal my daughter. And Luke tells us this was his only child. He loved her greatly. And Jesus went with him. And a great crowd also went along. They were thronging him, it says, pushing against him as they went along. And all of a sudden, as they moved along, Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples answered, what do you mean? Who touched you? There's crowds all around. They're all over you. You know, you're being pushed from every angle. What do you mean? Who touched me? He says, power has gone out of me. Virtue has gone out of me. Someone has touched me in a special way. And here we find this woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. She had suffered with this hemorrhaging, losing blood continually. She had been to all the doctors. She had spent everything she had, and yet she continued to get worse and worse and worse. And she heard then about Jesus. And she went, she said, if I could just go and touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. So that was her faith. She believed that Jesus could heal her, that he could meet her need, whatever it was. And here, so she went in the crowd and timidly reached out and touched the hem of his garment in faith. And she felt herself completely well. And Jesus said, who touched me? And she came forward and admitted that she was the one. It says in verse 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. daughter. What a tender way to speak to this lady. I have no idea how old she was, but she had been afflicted all those years, 12 years. And now she's completely well because she came in contact with the Lord Jesus. And the spiritual application, of course, is when you come in contact with Jesus, it changes everything. You remember when you came in contact with Jesus? The difference that it makes in your life. And it's wonderful to think about. But meanwhile, Jairus and the others are waiting. You notice Jesus took time. He was already going for it to an emergency. But he took time to solve the needs of this other lady. It's wonderful how sometimes we get in a big hurry, right? And we say, we've got to do this right now. We can't wait. Nothing can get in the way, right? But Jesus wasn't that way. He was calm about the whole thing. And he took and healed this other lady before going on to help the girl. So then we find someone comes from the home of Jairus and says, oh, it's too late. Waited too long. The girl's dead. You might as well let the master go his way because there's nothing more to do. Death has come into the home. What can you do when someone is dead? So we say, no doubt they would have ordinarily given up. But Jesus says, thy daughter, wait a minute. Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. Again, faith is in the face of death, in the face of disease, in the face of demons, whatever it might be. Jesus has the authority. He has the power to set free. Not that he always does, but he has all power in heaven and in earth, right? He can do anything. And we just need to put our faith and trust in him, whatever our need might be. And he's able to meet that need. Death is the last enemy that we face. And here, we find this 12-year-old girl. You notice one thing that's interesting? The lady was afflicted for 12 years, and this little girl was 12 years old when she died. So all the time that this girl was living, this other lady was afflicted with this bleeding problem. And now Jesus sets her free, and then he goes and raises the little girl from death. He says, be not afraid, only believe. So when they arrive back at Jairus' house, they have all the mourners and the wailers crying out in the street, wailing, as they do in the Middle East. Many times they pay people to do that, even though they're professionals. And they're crying, weeping and wailing. And Jesus told them, stop. She's not dead, she's asleep. And they laughed him to scorn, the scripture says. You must be a crazy man. What do you think? She's dead. We can see she's dead. Right? She doesn't have any more breath in her body. Jesus says, no, she's just asleep. So he shooed them all out, except the parents and his disciples, and they went in where the little girl was lying on the bed. And we find that he simply said to her, Talitha, it Aramaic.
This was her language. She understood, right? And the language that Jesus spoke. And he says, little girl, I say unto you, arise.
Dr. McGee says you can translate that little lamb.
Wake up. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come to thee.
Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And here we find he overcame the unbelief of all these people and raised this girl from the dead. We read in other places Jesus raised a young man from the dead, didn't he? The widow of Nain's son, they were going to the funeral. He raised him from the dead and gave him back to his mother. Later he raised Lazarus, his good friend, brought him forth out of the grave after he had been dead for 4 days.
Jesus has all power, all authority. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. We have the opportunity to ask him for whatever we need and whatever we desire, that we might be able to help others in their time of need. He's able to help us, to guide us and lead us. Here we see that he is the answer to any situation. These are the most drastic things we can think of. Demonism, disease, Jesus is able to overcome them all. Someday he will bring forth those from the grave that have died. And he has all power. So we can bring our burdens to him, can't we? Whatever they might be. Bring all of our burdens to the Lord. Leave them there, the song says. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have that privilege of calling upon the Lord with whatever our burden might be, whatever our heart might be thinking or saying, and knowing that he will hear and that he will answer in wisdom and understanding. Give us the answer that we need. If you don't know the Lord Jesus this morning as your Savior, then you need to come to him. You know, how are we going to make it through this life without him? You need him. And if you've never come to him, then this is the time. He's waiting with open arms to receive anyone who believes in him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all your grace and love to us. We thank you for this wonderful chapter, and we see that you are able to meet every need of every person who will simply put their faith and trust in you and know that you're always available, you're always there, you're never in a hurry. And we thank you, Lord, to know that we can trust you. Forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings, our failures. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness and help us to truly love you with all of our heart, to love one another. May Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, be glorified.